Welcome. My name is Christopher Peter. The United States of America is about to turn the page from what may have been the most consequential period in American history, not in the sense of importance, but a period full of consequences brought on by public policy and non-ideal policymaking. The results of the 2024 presidential and general election spoke volumes about how Americans generally viewed the state of our American society, economy, and our place in the world. There is so much that needs addressing, maybe even more than in 2020. Which is something that is hard to imagine. The last time Americans prepared for a change in leadership, we were still under restrictions that kept most of us still working from home on a daily basis, still separated from those we cherish and care for, and away from some of the activities and routines that we need. At this time 4 years ago, there was probably the same level of hope that we can move forward differently, maybe more so now than back then. Americans overwhelmingly voiced their displeasure about the status quo, with 3 out of every 4 saying that we were heading in the wrong direction. There was no pandemic, major catastrophe, or even that could be blamed for the situation. Just really a consistent and continual string of public policy that just did not deliver the results that Americans wanted and requested. It was clear America selected the wrong leader back in 2020. As we prepare for this change, let us discuss the opportunity created from the past 4 years, what we can realistically project that will take place over the next 4 years, and have a reasoned expectation for the Trump turnaround that we all hope to happen based on the overall success of the first Trump term. Let us continue with this special episode.
My name is Jennifer and welcome. I'm going to talk about the Biden era of American politics. One of the most difficult parts about reviewing the performance of any elected official is being able to separate the hysteria from reality or create an objective framework to shape your discussion. I think it is important to be consistent. Generally, we view the performance of a president more broadly than we would a senator or representative because of the sphere of influence and breadth of power. So, a person in Congress may be measured based on what bills they supported that became law or ones they effectively defeated or significantly altered. But the president is responsible for so much more. There are common standards that we hold our presidents to through our national discourse. How well did our economy function based on their economic policies? How effective was their foreign policy based on their diplomacy or lack thereof? Was our communities across the nation safer, united, or chaotic based on the policies they enacted? And what they promise and deliver in these categories? Let us start with the economy. A presidential administration has great influence over the state of the American economy. But let us not forget that our dynamic and diverse economy is still driven by the consumer. Presidents influence the economy through fiscal policy, administered through the budgets that are proposed, actions by our Department of Treasury, and regulation. Those are the recurring actions that an administration will do each year. In addition, there are bills that each administration might champion as a signature piece of legislation that defines their legacy. So the combined effect is what we must judge a president on. At the same time, we must also do our best to isolate our evaluation from the other factors that may impact economic outcomes that are beyond the administration's control, or a result not a direct connection to the policy enacted, or impacted from policy lags that exist. So let us start our economic evaluation of Joe Biden. Biden took office as the American economy was broadly on pause, a direct result of the ongoing pandemic. Upon taking the oath of office, Joe Biden was going to have 3 vaccines at his administration's disposal to help usher a return to normalcy. The economic agenda offered by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris was the idea that our American economy needed to be built back better. The focus would be on growing the middle class, bring what they viewed as fairness back to the tax system, and return for America to a new normal with more fairness for the working class. There was no real clear vision of what that meant. Just messaging that played on a common theme of unfairness without really adjudicating what is the cause and effect of this unfairness. Not surprising that the economy was the main reason amongst a whole host of other issues driving Americans to call for change a mere 4 years later. The Biden economy was plagued by historic inflation, low employment in gainful endeavors, and market imbalances. While the administration denies responsibility for the inflation problem, the energy policies and spending that occurred numerous times during the era combined with supply issues fueled the issue. The excuse was that other nations experienced worse inflation than what Americans were facing. But that excuse does not hold water because we would expect Europeans to experience greater inflation. The socialist, more centralized economies would naturally have greater inflation than a consumer-driven economy. Central planners are not the best party to align market demand with the needed supply. When there are global supply issues, they will be hit harder than a dynamic consumer capitalist system like the United States, who would naturally adapt faster. The more accurate comparison would be to compare the inflation rates with our own historic data. And inflation rates that we saw under Biden were not seen since the late President Jimmy Carter's time in office. A major part of the problem was also the messaging by the Biden administration, who did not want to acknowledge the reality that Americans knew all too well. A trend that helped create a disconnect between the people and the president. The federal government does not create new jobs. Rather than help foster environments through policy that make it easier for job creators to decide to expand their payrolls to fuel their growth and productivity needs. If public policy creates a growth environment, then job creators will decide to add on more staff because the productivity of each new hire is economically seen as a value add. In high-cost environments, the threshold to add new staff may be higher, as the return on investment may be much different. That is, policies regarding income tax, minimum wage, and regulation can impact hiring regardless of the state of the economy. For much of the Biden era, the data released by the Bureau of Labor Statistics confirmed what many feared. Jobs created were not really new jobs, but rather people returning to positions that were previously paused. Remember that the additional stimulus funds released into the economy, combined with more generous unemployment benefits, kept many people on the sidelines longer. Many of the new entrants were really people who ran out of benefits or people who no longer could run from the cost of daily life. During the pandemic, there were many people who returned home for a multitude of reasons or shifted to shared living with roommates. Also, many states and the federal government prevented eviction. So many simply did not really need the money, as they were not paying rent. Not surprising, when those protections were lifted and the view of the economy shifted, that many people started brushing up their resume and returning to the hospitality positions that they previously rejected. Especially when people already with jobs started to take these positions as a second job, potentially blocking these holdouts. The overall economic condition was largely stagnant, with a decline in the middle class. The same group that was supposed to be the centerpiece of the Build Back Better agenda. We were not really shocked that so many of these working-class individuals flocked to Trump this time around. Imagine if you fall into the class of workers who are trying to either find a viable career path or greater financial stability. The idea that public policy will help protect opportunities for you to advance in your career or make employers pay you more is intriguing. The reality was, if your employer is struggling to make ends meet, there is little protection for keeping the same number of or increasing salaries. The idea of expanding economic growth that allows you to change careers or experience income mobility is intriguing, especially in many communities that are seeing employers flee. If someone can make these communities safer and encourage growth, then these individuals will see economic progress. Real progress. Moving on. Another important area was the effectiveness of our domestic policy. Not really a bright spot either. During the past 4 years, we have seen more criminals return to the streets to commit even more crimes, and shifts in how crimes were reported as politicians focused on how to protect their political careers. The Biden campaign embraced the defund the police mantra in order to connect with the growing progressive sect that was hysteria-driven following the death of George Floyd. Many in the campaign bailed out many of the agitators and fueled the angst towards our law enforcement rather than taking a more mature and rational approach. Not surprising that almost every city saw crime increase in a blatant manner that really made many places unlivable. Many businesses relocated out of troubled neighborhoods, increasing the socioeconomic challenges that lead to crime in the first place. Petty crimes increased to the point that it is hard to go to any store now without everything being behind the polyurethane protection. More fuel to the problem came when the Biden administration just stopped securing our border. They created an even bigger border crisis than the one that existed under Barack Obama, who at least deported some of the people that illegally crossed our southern border. There was no resistance this time around under Biden-Harris. A great political play was Republicans sending the problem to the politicians who beat their chest and supported illegal immigration from afar. Once blue state progressives saw the illegal immigration problems firsthand, they struggled to deal with the budget issues it cost their communities, the safety issues raised across their municipalities. and residents turned quickly on the issue. Problems at home were compounded by problems abroad as well. The Biden administration completely flubbed the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Not only the videos, images, and fact that Americans and allies were left behind, but the clear sign of naivety that some feel paved the way for the global chaos we now are seeing. That chaos including Russia invading its neighbor Ukraine, which has been a stain through the Biden era. Shortly after Biden postured following a meeting with Putin, his Russian counterpart in Putin acted and initiated the costly war that has cost the lives of many and destroyed much of Ukraine. The Biden administration released funds to Iran as he seemingly tried to show his progressive base that he could reinstate the failed Iran deal. Iran turned and assisted with a tragic terrorist attack that brought war back to the Middle East. One can really say that the true beneficiaries of the Biden presidency were those that posed the biggest threat to democracy, global security, and peace. And Biden further cemented his foreign policy ineptitude on his way out with his actions on Cuba. As Biden prepares to leave office, he hands over a society that is divided because of his politics to lead based on demographics, pitting American against American based on how they look, pray, and vote. He leaves with an economy that people do not trust. And the world is in utter chaos. All the while, we find out that he was being shielded from the reality that he was causing. The Biden era was a major setback for America. A major regression culturally, economically, and diplomatically. Yet, America remains hopeful, not because this failed leader, but once again they have the alternative to look forward to.
Most presidents elected for a second term serve them consecutively. Trump is now the second president to serve two non-consecutive terms. But he may be the first president to come to office with almost the same situation that he came into office the first time around. Except this time a bit more of a mess because his predecessor is more incompetent than the last one. Never heard of a president needing to be shielded from the public's perception, from their own party's leadership, and from their own reality, for the entirety of their presidency. There is a clear change in the political atmosphere where Americans seem to broadly admit that Trump is the right choice for the presidency. More people are embracing Trump and the MAGA agenda than ever before, it feels like. The main issue that voters want the Trump administration to address is the state of the economy. An issue that Americans united around. The economy did not do well for the last 4 years. The general feeling was that everything went up in cost, lowered in availability and quality. The problem with the economy is not the need for a better message or the progressive belief that the public is not understanding the state of the economy. The issue is that the policies did little to make anything better for anybody. The hope is that Trump can reignite our American economy in the same manner that he did during the first term. While many focus on the tax cuts, the Trump administration opened up economic opportunities in many inner cities and other areas through the Economic Opportunity Zones program. I think a president can be pro-business and still hold them accountable at the same time. The reality is that much of the regulations in place do little to protect the consumer. Many are redundant and outdated in the way they operate. The need is to have a real champion of capitalism in place to help grow the economy. The more viability for our business community and industries will have a positive impact on consumers, workers, and everything in between. Because the more choice consumers have, the better treatment, service, and product offerings companies must offer to keep consumers. Stagnant economic conditions are bad for consumers because there are no alternatives or incentives for change. Additionally, Americans are no longer blind to the issues and dangers that come along with open border policies. The rise in crime that is clearly associated with illegal immigration. The stress on local budgets and resources. The quality of life in community is lowered because of services being diverted to cover the burden of these illegal immigrants. Americans cannot look the other way when their fellow citizens lose their life because a many-time deported illegal immigrant kills an innocent victim. Americans could no longer ignore the fact that our southern border was not protected and orderly at all. Despite the staged photo ops by the Biden team, the media videos showing the flood of illegals crossing at will. The best strategy on this issue was the redistribution of these individuals to sanctuary states and cities to put the effects right in the face of those that back open borders far away, oftentimes looking down on the border communities who deal with these issues every year. Now, these blue state Americans no longer pretend these individuals are here safely to contribute to our society. The hope is that Trump can restore the border security back to where it was before Biden dropped the ball, build the needed physical barriers along with the technological solutions. And hold those nations accountable who shirk their responsibilities and send them north. Make those nations have to contribute to the solution and get our southern border under control. As the world burns, the Biden administration had the nerve to claim he maintained world peace and made our enemies weaker when he emboldened their sadistic agendas. Ironically, when Trump won, the world changed immediately, knowing our policy would change. There seems to be a realization that a new sheriff is in town. The second-term agenda, much like the first, will need to revitalize our economy, strengthen our borders, and restore world peace. Additionally, Trump will be tasked with restoring safety in our communities. Safety dictates whether people will want to work in, raise a family in, open a business in, or spend money in that community. Across the nation, we are seeing more plexiglass than profitable small businesses. For instance, there are numerous stories of retail chains, whether it being a pharmacy or department store, relocating away from inner cities because progressive policies that encourage theft. While some view petty theft as a minor violation, the collective impact harms the viability of the business. So why would a business operator, franchisee, or a small business owner stay if they are going to see inventory stolen and experience loss? For those sympathetic to the plight of the thieves, consider the compounded economic impact on the overall communities who now will have lesser access to the goods and services because of the environment created by unchecked crime. Now, this may be a local issue to address for many cities, but the change that we can expect is that the lawlessness occurring over the past 4 years will change when you have a federal government focused on law enforcement of actual crimes rather than political opponents. I think we will see a more appropriate approach to diversity than what we experienced with the Biden administration. Diversity is important, and having qualified pipelines of talents of all backgrounds and demographics is beneficial to many organizations. But the approach the federal government took under Biden, where demographics played a greater factor than talent, experience, and judgment, is a problem. When you do it in that manner, you make it look like there are no qualified minority candidates without the explicit handing out positions by eliminating qualified candidates. The better approach is to improve the diversity of the pipelines, and then you will see more diversity in the results. A problem at times is that pipelines are not diverse or even open in some cases. That is the problem. But I do not think the current DEI frameworks are helpful other than affirming negative stereotypes. I think we can all expect a better performing economy, a more secure border, greater national security than having a distracted military, and greater law and order that will help improve overall quality of life. The hope and realistic expectation is that better times are ahead because there is finally someone competent in office. In closing, the Biden era was unique because you have not really seen an administration get almost everything wrong. The American public agree that they are failing, and the president is being completely kept in the dark because he needs to be managed. People used to complain about Trump's social media usage, but it keeps him tied to the pulse of the public. Joe Biden fulfilled his dream on the third try of becoming president and did absolutely nothing to help people fulfill their dreams. Rather, he made every nightmare happen. Not since the Carter administration has America experienced complete and utter failure like this. At least, Carter was capable of handling the reality of what was going on around him. But, sometimes, we need to experience that kind of failure to realize what the right choice is. A big thank you to all of you in the audience. Your viewership is appreciated and valued. Please follow the Christopher Peter Review on social media and continue to visit www.crcreview.com for new episodes. Thank you once again. Until next time.